Thank you for asking to share, Tash. Yeah, and welcome to anyone who's new back from Aruda, celebrating today, this week, clean time. And for those, especially those who have the desire who are not yet clean. And I want you to know that it's possible, it's really possible to get this, to keep this, to enjoy the life that NA gives, can give us as well. And I say this because I've experienced it. And I'm speaking from experience what I know. I didn't get clean the first, second, third, or fourth, or fifth time at trying this. I got clean in face-to-face meetings when there was no Zoom. Before this pandemic happened, you know, and I would go back and forth to meetings, you know, I'd pick up a white kiwi today. And in my heart, I believed and I wanted to never ever use it again. Never ever. And what would happen in meetings, right? So my last 1990 I did in this recovery, I did in Soho. I did all my 1990 in Soho. Because I was too paranoid and too self-obsessed that people in my area would know that I used, right? And that I couldn't handle my drugs. So I went all the way into Soho. And what would happen is that I'd sit in meetings and I'd have the obsession. I would have, and if people don't know what an obsession is, you know, the obsession for me is, and I'm back on step one again. I'm going through the third set of steps again, same sponsor. And it's that thing, you know, what does the disease of addiction mean to me? What's it like when I act in an obsession? And for me, an obsession is, you know, it starts with this small possibility or like a glimmer of, oh yeah. And then it's a, possibly I could do that. And then it's a, And then somehow the ums and the ahs and the ooh, I get carried away with that. And I completely forget what it was like the last time I used. Because what has happened to me is that I would go back to 1996 when I picked up my first choice of, well, the choice of drug, this particular one, you know, and I would go back to that time when I felt that ooh moment, you know, and that's what I'd always forget time and time again. I forgot what it did to me that very day, hours afterwards, you know, I completely forget that. So I'd sit in meetings and I wouldn't want to share, I wouldn't be honest. And they say it's an honest program, you know, and I get the levels. The longer I've stayed around is I really start to understand the different levels of honesty and how deep honesty can really go. So for me back then it was, oh my God, but I want to lose, you know, and they'll be reading out the Just for Today card. My thoughts would be on my new associations, people who are not using. I'll be thinking about the dealer and his number will be going past. And I wouldn't tell anyone. I wouldn't share with anyone. And I pretend that I'm okay. People can't speak house. Are you okay? You can come for coffee with us. No, I've got to get back. I've got to feed my cat. Cat's fine. Cat's got loads of food. Anyone who's been to my house who sees my cat is a big cat. My cat doesn't need any food, right? and what would happen is that I'd rush home, I'd lie. And I'd rush home. And on the way home, I'd call the dealer. I'll be at home. And then we go all over again. And then as I was using, what used to happen is then the voice would flip into me. See, look at you, stupid bitch. Look at you finally packing done. Look at you now. Oh yeah, you could have got honest, but you didn't choose to. See, NA doesn't work for you, it works for others. How are you gonna tell people what you did? You didn't get honest last night. You had the opportunity to, and you didn't. And then in the morning, what would happen is that people from NA would be calling, what meeting are you going to? I'll be at the 10 a.m. Soho, or I'll be this one, you know, and I felt, hopeless. I felt worthless. Beyond broken, words can't even explain how I felt. And especially having to explain that I'd done it again. And I come back to meetings and I was applauded for walking up and getting my white key ring again, you know. And and yeah, I you know what, I celebrate everyone. I celebrate everyone, but particularly those who are coming back from a relapse, because it ain't easy doing this stuff. It's really, really not. But it is possible. And how it changed is that I stopped doing it Karis's way and I started doing it the NA way. Really simple. It's been suggested to me since 1998. I got to my first meeting in 2000 when I was 23, 24 years of age. Got to my first meeting and I just didn't like the name Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't like it. It just sounded too druggy for me, although that's what I was, right? I love drugs, right? And yeah, so it took me to go out and come back in and do the Okie Boat Cokie. And then when it got really, really, really painful for me, and I'm the type of addict, when it gets painful, I will do whatever is suggested. Whatever suggested. You want me to run up and down naked, shout in the top of my voice, I will do it. Banging the basic text everywhere like a tambourine, I will do it if it gets really painful, you know. And so I started my journey this time around, you know. And you know, today I've had a day off. When I came in this time around, I had no qualifications. I got my GCSEs at 36 years of age, and it wasn't easy going to class with people who were 19, 21, who knew how to switch on the computer, and I had no idea exactly, I had no idea how to do it at all. And then I'll go into jobs that I thought would be like my family would really approve of, especially my dad, because I seek a lot of validation from my dad. So I went and I worked in recovery, in the field of recovery. And at first it was really exciting. It was really, really exciting. And then what happens is as I go through the steps, I start to change. And the more I start to change on my inside, my outlook starts to change as well. So whether it's the people I hang out with, whether it's the guys that I go for, whether it's the jobs I'm seeking or the hobbies I used to like, everything starts to change. And the job that I do now, I now run my own business. I count cash. I have cash in my drawer that I don't count in drugs. It's my money. It's there, you know. And I'm damn good at what I do. I'm bloody good at what I do. And it's something that I love. And it's funny because the more authentic I am to myself, what I've sought from my father, for him to say, Karis, I'm proud of you. For years and years and years, I've always tried to impress my dad with, I've got this job and I've got this promotion. And he'll say, yeah, but you know, you could be trying better. You could do a bit better. Or so-and-so's kids, it was always that. He's always used to compare my brother and I to his friend's children. But they went to grammar school, but they're working in IT, they're working in corporate, blah, blah, blah. And when I stopped doing that, you know, my father's come to me, I remember it's his 75th birthday, and I had this little party for him. And my dad's old school Jamaican, he doesn't do parties, doesn't do celebration of birthdays, really. He will send me money, which I like, right, for my birthday, but he doesn't really celebrate his own. And I must have been about five, six years clean at the time. And I wasn't expecting it. And I wasn't doing this for him to say, well done. Anyway, I got this cake and I brought out this cake to him. And I think particularly that year was special because his best friend had just died. And funny enough, it was the anniversary of his best friend's passing yesterday, 5 years. And I wanted to make it really special for him. And after the whole party finished, you know, and he went and he texted me, he said, Karis, he said, I just want you to know that in all the birthdays, he said, this is the most special one. He said, I can't tell you how much I'm proud of you for everything you do and how you carry yourself today. So sometimes, I guess what I'm saying, you know, is that also I want to say this is when I got clean this time around, I wanted my family to be okay. I wanted them to be okay with how I was and to forgive me, right? Because I know I'd done a lot of things, and they reminded me, you know, my sponsor came, drove me down to my dad's in Kent, and I wanted her to meet my family, for her to meet my dad, who had this fabulous job, and he speaks, you know, and I wanted her to think that I was quite different from everyone else. Of course, today I know I'm no damn different, right? So we get down there, and I'm about 3 months clean. And my stepmom, my sister, and my dad have just laid into me verbally. You bring this woman down here, you claim you're in recovery, we don't see you. Do you know how many Christmases we missed? You missed. Do you know how many times we sat at the table and you never turned up? You changed your number so many times. We didn't know where you were, what you were doing. And I was just shocked because I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for it. I was expecting bunting, trumpets. I wanted a party, right? A street party, because Caris was clean. But I didn't even know. I wasn't even aware of the hurt that I'd left or the destruction I'd left behind me. And I remember my sponsor said, listen, whoa. She said, listen. She said, Caris is trying her best. She said, I know you've got hurt. They said, but she said, trust me. She said, she will recover from this. And my dad said, these were his exact words. He said, are you sure are you sure she can recover from this? And she said, I promise you, if she continues to do what she's doing, she can. And in my experience, and I'm 9 years. And in this time, what I know is that our families, loved ones, friends recover, but just not at the same rate as us, or the same rate as me. That's what I know, you know. And my dad came to an NA meeting last year, face to face. We were face to face to see me pick up my 8 years medallion. He came again this year on Zoom, and he was just blown away. And I could just see how proud he was. And I didn't have to ask him for it. And I don't do this for my dad. I don't do this for validation. I do this for me. And it's just a really beautiful feeling, you know. And yesterday I called my dad. The longer I stay around as well, the more selfless I'm becoming. Because his best friend passed away, and they've been friends since 1959. And it was very, very sudden. And what happens that the night before this guy passed away, my dad was they were sharing a meal together. And he said, you don't look well. He said, I don't think you should get on the flight tomorrow. And the guy, to my uncle, we're calling Uncle Peter. And he said, no, he goes, no, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm getting on the flight. And my dad really beats himself up for that today. You know, and I called my dad to see how he was doing, not because I was trying to manipulate him for money, not because of anything else, but to see how he was doing. You know, so I am changing. Hey, love, my cat comes every time I do a share. So the day I had today, I had a day off, and I was zipping around town. I went to Balham, Earlsfield. My belly button birthday is coming up in 2 weeks. So I'm having a party. Woo-hoo-hoo! And can you believe it, that the obsession to use drugs is gone? But not only that, is that if I was an active addiction, I know that I'd have been setting up, right, I need to make sure I have enough of this and I have enough of that on my birthday. And now it's about, I'm organizing myself a massage, a facial, things that are really like self-caring, that are loving to me, you know, and then I want to party with people who who are my friends, who are my loved ones. So spoke to my sponsor today as well, and we're going through step one. And this woman never ceases to amaze me, because I was going through the questions, you know, going through the answers. And she said, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And I was thinking, well, hold on a minute, I just wrote it down, didn't I? And this is exactly what I do with my sponsees, right? And what I want to do, I want to get out of step one, because I don't like the feeling. It's the feelings. I'm a lot better at feelings today. Yeah. But what's a big one for me is loneliness, you know, and I can eat on loneliness. I will shop on loneliness. I will watch back to back Netflix on loneliness. I'm just kind of getting really honest with my sponsor about where I'm at, you know. New thing, and I'm gonna have to be honest, it's an honest program. I started shoplifting last year. I shoplifted these flatbreads, didn't really need them at all, you know. It's between that and the Easter egg, and I thought, well, I want them both. And then and what happened, I remember seeing the security guard at the side, and I thought, oh, he's not even looking. So let me just take the both items in my bat in my hands and then pull out the money from the self-service till whatever. And I went. But what happens now that I have more awareness, and this is, I know it's a great thing. The thing for me, what happens with the steps is that as I grow closer to myself, to the truest form of myself, and grow closer to the truth, because it's not about the item. It's not about the item. I can pay for the item. It's about the feeling and what's going on for me. And what I've noticed is when I feel angry, when I feel when I feel entitled. So what happened is I was looking at this flat, beautiful flat in Handel. Listen, the fantasy, right? I'm wrapped up in the fantasy. I've moved in the flat, right? I've moved in the flat. I'm working from the flat. My cats are there having parties. I've done it. It's mine. And then on Monday, he sent me this beautiful text. The guy said, listen, your flat's a little bit small for what I wanted. And I was like, okay, all right. And then I thought, how do I feel? And I thought, I'm pissed off. And I thought, well, pissed off's not feeling. How do I really feel? I feel upset. I feel disappointed, and I feel hurt. And I feel hurt because my higher power, here we go, who, when I get ready, is supposed to be looking after me and looking after my needs, is not giving me what I want, right? But apparently, and I know this because I've been around long enough, Karis, it will happen. And it's going to be something bigger and better than what I originally wanted, because I will settle for crumbs. I've settled for crumbs in relationships, whether that's romantic relationships or friend relationships. I've done that, you know, and how I earned my money in active addiction is that I was a prostitute. So I would always settle for crumbs when that's not really what I wanted. In step four, it talks about, you know, settling for sex when we really wanted love. I really, really, really wanted love. That's what I wanted. And somehow in my mind, I got it twisted. So I thought, yeah, sex means that I will be in demand. It means that if I'm in demand, it means I'm wanted. If I'm wanted, then I'm loved. If I'm loved, then I'm enough. If I'm enough for you, then I'm enough for me. But what's happened for me in the steps is that I've started to unravel all of that, and I'm noticing that when I'm enough for me, possibly I might be enough for you. It doesn't really matter if I am or I'm not. You know, and my track record has been is that I've gone into relationships with guys who have come after me, whether or not I really fancied them or not. But that's how it's been. You know, I go by flattery. And And in the last 2 weeks, something's happened, right? So there's a few things that's happened. So I was going to go and I was going to go for this course, and it's a lot of money. I put down this deposit, it's a lot of money. Acknowledged. Thank you, Bex. How long do I have? Am I finished? Bye. Thank you. And the more I started, as the course is drawing closer and closer, I started to think about the course. And it wasn't filling me with joy. It was filling me with dread. And it was going against the principles of how I want my business to go. And what I'm really interested in. It's very important that I really enjoy the work that I do. And what happens with this course is that it's non-transferable, that the deposit is non-transferable. So I've lost the deposit and it's a lot of money. So there is something about being authentic to myself. Which must mean that I'm really starting to love myself a lot more than what I ever have. You know, because I'm starting, the choices that I'm making for myself are not the choices that I would have made probably 3 weeks ago, you know. Yeah, I'm really, really starting to love myself, you know. I was listening to a share the other day of a friend of mine, and she reminded me the things that I used to chase after were all the outside stuff. And I can still do that today. And don't get it twisted. I do it in ebook. I scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. I can do that. I picked up white keyrings because I can't get off eBay and I'm just buying crap. I mean, we did, and then the next week, then I'm giving it away or giving it back to a charity shop. And I remember one time when I was useful, right? And I went blind for about, to me, it seemed like a long time, but about 5 minutes. And I remember I had this ringing in my ears and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to go. I'm going to die. I couldn't see anything. And then I came around. And the first thing I could think of was, oh my God, that was brilliant. I need to do that again. I need to do that again. And today, that's not what I call joy. That's not what fills me with joy. You know, I go to the park and I'll share this in a meeting, and I don't really share this very often, but my thing is I love birds, right? And it's amazing because I used to hate listening to the sound of birds in the morning when I was using, you'd hear one and then the rest would come. And I used to think, oh my God, it's morning time again. Oh my God, oh my God. And what brings me joy, right, is a murmuration. And a few months time, I want to go and seek murmuration. What it is, it's a flock of birds. It looks like a swarm of birds, in fact. And they fly in different shapes. And what they do is that they communicate with each other. And they do this for protection and to keep warm. You know, and please Google it. For me, it's the most beautiful thing. Any time in Gretna Green and over Derbyshire Way, Leicester, you see over that way. And I could just watch that all day long. I just love nature today. Have I frozen? Have I frozen? I think I did. Yeah, I just love nature today. I love nature and I love the NA program. I've continuously had this service commitments. I'm sponsored by the same lady since 6 days clean. I sponsor others. And I do a minimum about 3 meetings a week. And I just keep coming back and I do the things I really don't want to do most of the time, you know. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to put my number in the chat because I do have to leave at 8:30. So thank you very much for listening to me and lots of love. Thank you.